You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good news for you, Orioles fans. Guess what? We are exactly 1 month away from opening day against the Boston Red Sox and starting up this 2021 season. And hey, everybody, welcome in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. It is March 1st. The madness has begun if you are a college basketball fan. But if you're just a baseball fan, listen, we've got spring training games. The Orioles opened with their first spring training game yesterday. Of course, a 6-4 loss to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Some good things, some bad things. We won't really break it down much because, frankly, no one got to see it. But that's something we'll continue to talk about here on these episodes of the Locked On Orioles podcast. But today's episode, we're going to open the mailbag once again. A mailbag Monday episode here on the pod, as we are going to answer three questions here on the podcast. And just to let you know, going forward, a little bit of a different format to the pod here starting today. Today, as we mentioned last week, starts the daily episodes once again here on the Locked On Orioles podcast. So you can expect episodes every single day, Monday through Friday, five episodes a week as we go through this 2021 season. We're also going to break the show down a little bit more into more of a three-segment show. So you'll hear me, then you'll hear an ad break, and then you'll hear me again. You'll hear one more ad break quickly, and then we'll get you more Orioles content. Don't worry, it's not going to be any more ads than usual, just a little split up. More so than it has been before. We'll give you the same amount of great Orioles content here on the pod. But again, today we are going to answer three mailbag questions about the Orioles. They are concerning the depth of pitching and would the Orioles potentially use an opener this year. We'll also talk a little bit about small ball with the Orioles and how base running might play a factor into the outfield spots the Orioles have to look at this spring training. So all that's coming up on today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off on your next order over at BuiltBar.com. So today on a Mailbag Monday, we are going to start things off with a couple of questions from a listener, Kevin, who has asked some questions before. He hit us with two questions, and we will start with this one. He says, with the Orioles moving in a younger direction, do you think the O's will again in 2021 be a big bunting club? And for me, you know, for people who have listened to this podcast, for people who know me personally and my thoughts on the game of baseball, they know I am not a big fan of the bunt. And I'm a big fan of the numbers, and the numbers back up that take as well. The bunt really doesn't work out for you. The only time where the bunt works out is if you're in the bottom of the ninth or bottom of the 10th, 11th, and so on, and the game is tied and you have your runner on second with nobody out. That is the only time the bunt helps you, because a sacrifice bunt that gets the runner from second to third with now one out is the only play that actually increases your opportunity to score one run. That's just one run, and that's the numbers. Again, if you're looking to score more than one run, say you're down by a run, or you're down by two runs, or you're just looking for a big inning, it only increases your chances. That exact bunt, runner on second, nobody out, gets you to runner on third with one out, increases your probability of scoring just a single run. But of course, in today's game, you're playing for the home run, you're playing for the big inning, and the bunt never really works. But you know, they all don't have to be sack bunts, and as we know, the Orioles laid down a good amount of bunts last year because of the players they had on the roster. Of course, Hanser Alberto was a great singles hitter, but wasn't a big power hitter, and he was a pretty good bunter and could get his fair share of bunt base hits. We know Andrew Velasquez was in the lineup way too often last year, but he was frankly not a good hitter, and the way he could get himself on base sometimes as a switch hitter was to lay down a bunt. Same thing with Cedric Mullins. You remember how much Mullins struggled in the first couple of weeks of the 2020 season, you know, before kind of fixing things at the alternate site. His only hit, he was 1-for-13. His only hit was a bunt single. He came back, got a couple more bunt singles, then started to swing the bat a little bit better. Now, speaking of Mullins, we'll talk about this, but he has actually given up switch hitting. This was an interesting nugget from the news yesterday, first reported by MassinSports.com, Rock Abaco, and confirmed by others, and then, you know, it happened in the game yesterday against the Pirates. Mullins has given up switch hitting. He is now just a purely left-handed hitter, and this was probably a good call because he only got one hit from the right side. Excuse me, one extra base hit from the right side over the last two seasons. His right side numbers, he was a very, very slumped one way in his switch hitting numbers. Much, much better throughout his career from the left side. And it wasn't just, you know, oh, he was average from the right side and he was good from the left side. He's been, you know, above average from the left side and dismal from the right side in his career. So he will be just a left-handed hitter. But even with that for Cedric Mullins, you know, he had bunted more from the right side last year because he was struggling there. We could still see him lay down bunts because we know he doesn't have the pop to be, you know, a 10, 15, 20 home run hitter. And he's going to hit some doubles and maybe some triples. But, you know, he's got good speed and he has shown he's a good bunter. So I wouldn't put it past Mullins to, you know, continue to try to lay them down for the Orioles and get himself on base and open up, you know, another avenue for him to try and make this team and potentially, if things go well for him, be the starting center fielder for the Orioles. So no, I do not think the Orioles will be a big bunting club. You look at the rest of this roster, neither of the catchers are going to lay down bunts. You know, maybe it's in Ryland Bannon's game or Richie Martin's game, but the rest of these guys, you know, maybe Yomer Sanchez, but the rest of these guys really aren't going to lay him down. You look at that outfield, Cedric Mullins really the only guy who's going to lay one down. You're not going to ask Trey Mancini, Yusnail Diaz, Santander, Stewart, Austin Hayes. You're not going to let any of those guys lay one down. You know, you're not going to ask Mountcastle or Rio Ruiz to lay down a bunt at any time. So I don't think the Orioles will be playing small ball. They definitely won't be laying down a lot of sacrifice bunts. But Kevin, you know, to answer your question in full, I will say that, you know, the Orioles could definitely still be a team that bunts for base hits, even without Alberto, even without Velasquez on the roster this year. You could see Mullins and maybe a couple other guys try and lay it down and get themselves on base, because Cedric Mullins showed, you know, we don't know if his bat is really back. He could go into a slump again, but he did show last year that even when he was in a big time slump, he could still lay down a bunt and get himself on base when the bat wasn't really rolling. So if that is the case for Mullins at any point in 2021 and he is slumping, would not be surprised to see him lay down a bunt potentially. So we'll take our first break here. When we come back, we will answer Kevin's second question into the mailbag, which has to do a little bit with some of the same guys we just talked about, like Cedric Mullins. And it talks about a little bit of bunting, but base running as well, and how all that will factor in to who wins the spots for the outfielders on the opening day roster. So we will talk about that right after this break. We'll get back to our mailbag in just a second, but got to tell you about betonline.ag. Now, I know the spring training games have started. We're just a month away from opening day, but if you're still looking for, you know, some sports that do count, well, it is March Madness beginning today. We got college basketball, of course, the NBA and the NHL going on as well. And over at betonline.ag, they even cover award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. All of that if you want to get in on some of that betting action. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. And BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON over at betonline.ag to get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. At betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So back here on a Mailbag Monday edition of the Locked On Orioles podcast, where, of course, we have you covered on everything about the Orioles, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. So we continue here on a Mailbag Monday with our second question coming from listener Kevin, who also asks, second part, do you see this bunting and base running being a factor in who wins the utility and extra outfield spot in camp? Now, this is interesting because, you know, it looks like with the 26 players, the Orioles will carry 13 pitchers and 13 hitters, if I were to guess how they're going to look at this roster. And you look at the guys who are locks for making the team. Severino, Cisco, Davis, Galvis, Mountcastle, Ruiz, Sanchez, Valleca. And then you add in Mancini and Santander. And there's 10 hitters right there. So you really got three other spots. You're looking in the outfield, I would say Austin Hayes is a lock. That gets you to 11. Cedric Mullins, probably a lock as well, which gets you to 12, which leaves one extra spot for either another outfielder or potentially another infielder. And, you know, it's going to be a big race. You've got Rylan Bennett, Jamai Jones. You know, will Richie Martin be healthy? You've got, you know, Ramon Arias. You've got Yusniel Diaz, Ryan McKenna, DJ Stewart. You know, all those guys are kind of on that list on the 40-man roster. Even Stevie Wilkerson may be in that mix. Even Tyler Nevin, who's on the 40-man, may be in that mix as well to get one of those spots. So I wouldn't say bunting has anything to do with making the team, but speed could definitely, because this Orioles team overall hasn't had a whole lot of speed. Now, we did see last year that Ryan Mountcastle has a lot more speed than we thought, but it's kind of speed and versatility put together. Now, if you're saying that Hayes is a lock, maybe Mullins is it. I think Mullins' defensive versatility, his defensive skills, and his speed, they're all going to get him on the roster. So that gets you to 12 of the 13 hitters. Then you're looking at guys like DJ Stewart and Yusniel Diaz. Of course, Diaz with the home run against the Pirates on Sunday. Stewart had, you know, such a roller coaster season last year. But if you're maybe looking at, you know, do you keep DJ Stewart or do you keep a guy like Jamai Jones? You know, we're not sure how this is going to play out. But there's a scenario in which DJ Stewart maybe gets left off and potentially, you know, could not be with this Orioles team this year. And there's a potential in which Jamai Jones takes that spot, because although Jamai Jones is mostly a second baseman now, you know, the Orioles have talked about this offseason. He obviously came up as a center fielder. He's played a lot of left field as well. They feel, although that second base is his best defensive position, that they can put Jamai Jones in center and in left if they needed to. So he brings that versatility that kind of kept Andrew Velasquez on the roster for pretty much the entirety of 2020. Now, we know a lot of that was because of Jose Iglesias' injury, and you kind of needed that backup shortstop. But, you know, Velasquez got the nod over a guy like Ramon Arias last year because Velasquez, while also being able to play second and short, he could play the outfield as well, and the Orioles gave him some innings in center when Austin Hayes was hurt and Mullins was really struggling. And so with Jamai Jones, although his center field defense isn't the best, you can put him in center, you can put him in left as well, and he can play second base and probably the other infield positions as well. And I know that's more about defensive versatility, and I know DJ Stewart says he's cut about 10 pounds this offseason, trying to get a little more athletic in the outfield. But Jamai Jones has good speed, he's a great athlete, and he's going to beat out a guy like DJ Stewart in that category. And I know they're very different players, but it could come down to those two maybe fighting for that final spot. And obviously, you know, the nod would probably go to DJ Stewart because he's been in the organization longer, less, you know, options, and you can send Jamai Jones to AAA. You can have him start the season in Norfolk without having to, you know, put him through waivers, so that obviously gives the nod to a guy like DJ Stewart. But overall, you know, that could be a question later in the season. If Jamai Jones comes up and DJ Stewart isn't hitting consistently, you know, it could spell the end for Stewart, and a guy like Jamai Jones could be taking that spot. Also, maybe a guy like Ryan McKenna, you know, he's been on the 40-man for a little while now, but he's not in a lot of outfield conversations because there's so many names. You know, if there comes a time where it's Ryan McKenna versus DJ Stewart, or maybe Ryan McKenna versus a guy like Yusniel Diaz trying to take a spot. McKenna, known for his speed and his defense, could give him the edge as the Orioles are looking to, you know, provide that versatility and have better athletes out there. Because, you know, Ryan Mountcastle has obviously been working on his defense, but he's not the greatest left fielder defensively. He's going to be out there. You're going to have either Hayes or Mullins in center, and then you're going to have Santander in right. And while Santander was a Gold Glove finalist last year, before that, he was a pretty shaky defensive right fielder. And, you know, with the small sample size, Santander only played 37 games last year. I really want to see a full season of him in right before I say that he is, you know, a good defensive right fielder. So the Orioles are still going to have defensive questions out there. And, you know, Trey Mancini will probably get some innings in the outfield as well. And he could be a little shaky out there. And obviously, DJ Stewart has all of his troubles. So the Orioles are going to want a reliable defensive, speedy outfielder, and that's going to be Cedric Mullins. But what if Mullins' bat doesn't come around? You know, as I mentioned, he is a full-time left-handed hitter now. He's not going to switch hit anymore. We'll see if that maybe lessens his value at all, because he doesn't have that option to go over to the right side, and maybe that opens things up for somebody else. But Kevin, to answer the question, you know, it's going to be not as much bunting and base running But you know, for that utility spot and the extra outfield spot, I know I really mostly focused on the outfield, but speed will play a factor. Athleticism and defensive versatility could really play a factor on this team. And to just kind of touch on the infield, you know, that's going to be big for Jamai Jones winning just an infield spot, you know, if he has to go up against, you know, a Ramon Urias or a Ryland Bannon for one of those spots as well. And those guys are athletes and have good speed too, but we've heard about just Jamai Jones being, you know, kind of a freak athlete on top of him, you know, having the skills to be a Major League Baseball player and the top prospect he was. And, you know, even a guy like Ryland Bannon, here's the other thing with him. The Orioles have been working him out at catcher to be potentially the emergency catcher. Maybe that gives him a leg up on this roster because, you know, if he can be the emergency catcher on the team, then the Orioles don't need to carry a third catcher on that taxi squad, and it gives them a chance to maybe carry another pitcher on the taxi squad. So a notch there for Bannon to maybe make the roster. So that kind of all falls in. But I definitely think the speed and the base running will be a factor. Don't think the bunting will be, as far as the question goes from Kevin. But we do have one more question to get to here on a Mailbag Monday episode of the pod. It's going to be coming up after the next break. We're going to talk about, would the Orioles potentially think about using an opener some this season? We know they've done it a little bit in the past. They did it a good amount in 2019. Could it be a spot for the Orioles to do that again? They'll obviously need a lot of pitching and a lot of different options in this 2021 season. So we'll get that coming up right after this quick break. Back to our final mailbag question in just a second, but first got to tell you about Built Bar. You know Built Bar, it's a delicious and good for you protein bar. They've got those six new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. I hope a lot of those sound good to you because they sound delicious to me. Those bars covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Maybe you throw them in the fridge or the freezer as well. It gives them a nice little treat taste as well. And the bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber as well. Just take a look at the peanut butter bar, one of my favorites. 19 grams of protein, just 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. It's a protein bar, but it tastes just like a candy bar. So go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON20, and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off over at builtbar.com. So one final mailbag question here today on Locked On Orioles, as we'll continue to get you all this Orioles news. But, you know, if you're looking for more of the news around all of baseball, we've got Locked On MLB here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, but please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories, Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. Again, that's Locked On MLB. But back here, we've got our final mailbag question of the day here on a Mailbag Monday episode. And it comes from Twitter at Baltimore O's Funk, who asks, with all the arms in camp and talented arms, could we see the O's implementing an opener more often, similar to what the Rays and Brewers have done in the past? Now, we know the Orioles have done this in the past, especially in 2019, first year for Brandon Hyde. He employed the opener a good amount of times and, you know, had a guy go one or two innings. Guys like Richard Blyer, Sean Armstrong, and others would play that role of opener. But, you know, you kind of look at this pitching staff, and it's a good question because, you know, the Orioles have something they really haven't had in a while, is a depth of arms. And we don't really know how good a lot of these arms are going to be, but there is depth here for the Orioles. And, you know, you look at what the rotation will be to start the season. It'll be John Means. You'll probably have Felix Hernandez in there. You'll have Keegan Aiken in there. You'll have Dean Kramer in there. There's a chance that Matt Harvey could be in there. And then, you know, do you have a guy like Wade LeBlanc maybe in there? Is a Zach Lowther in there? Do one of the Rule 5 picks, Max Arola or Tyler Wells potentially, get in there? Is Cesar Valdez a starter? Is Bruce Zimmerman a starter? You know, you have so many options for the Orioles this year. And I think it will be interesting because, you know, you're really going to have to use a lot of pitchers here in 2021. You know, besides the COVID shutdown making, you know, all the preparations so different for this season, the fact that you just came off of a season, that was only 60 games, and now you have to ask these players to ramp it up and go back to 162 Plus, you have all the minor league guys you might be relying on who didn't have a minor league season last year. Obviously, a lot of them pitched in the alternate site in Bowie, but did not pitch in a normal season, so you got to ramp them back fully up to get ready for 162. And of course, this isn't just an Orioles issue. This is across baseball. A lot of teams are going to be using more pitchers than they are used to, and I think a lot of teams are going to use six-man rotations as well, which is why I kind of named six starters there. But I think it could be smart for the Orioles because they do have a lot of guys in that bullpen who are kind of, you know, more than one-inning relievers. And I talk starters, you know, I didn't even mention Jorge Lopez, who is starting Monday's game against the Phillies. He's definitely a guy who is probably going to be on the roster for the Orioles because I think they want to hold on to him. So you look at all these guys, and they have some interesting names who could pitch multiple innings. I think if the Orioles keep one of their two Rule 5 draft picks, it will be Tyler Wells. And I think he's a guy who could go out there and maybe throw you an inning or two at the beginning, really ramp it up. I think it would be interesting to maybe see a guy like Cesar Valdez play the opener role. You know, the Orioles have talked about having him as potentially a starter after all his success he had out of the bullpen last year. We know he can get multiple outs. We've seen him in the Dominican League where he is a starter and pitched very well this winter, leading his team to a Dominican League championship and a Caribbean Series championship. But Cesar Valdez, you know, we could see him maybe go through the lineup one time and then go to a starter. I think that would be pretty interesting because the thing with Valdez is, you know, he's throwing that dead fish changeup over and over again. Once hitters start to see him a second time, I think major league hitters are going to kind of key into what he's doing and have more success against him because he's only throwing, you know, 80 miles an hour. But the reason he worked out so well last year is a lot of good hitters hadn't seen him. He'd face, you know, five, six, seven batters and be facing all guys for the first time and get them out. So for Valdez, maybe to maximize his value, you start him and use him as an opener, and you just pull him, you know, either after two innings or, you know, maybe after one time through the lineup, whatever comes first. And then, you know, I wouldn't put John Means behind him. You know, I wouldn't put Felix Hernandez behind him in an opener situation. But if you're looking to incorporate guys like, you know, maybe Keegan Aiken still, I think I would start Dean Kramer, but maybe Keegan Aiken. Maybe if you're trying to work Bruce Zimmerman in there a little more, or Alex Wells or Zach Lowther, kind of ease them in to this, you know, starting role in the major leagues. I think putting a guy like Valdez as, you know, more of a modified opener where he's looking to go at least two innings and then come out after he's faced the lineup one time through. And then you know, switch it up a little bit. Then maybe you throw a Bruce Zimmerman at him who's not, you know, going to fire 95, but his 91, 92 is looking like a lot compared to Valdez's 78. And so that might help Bruce Zimmerman. And, you know, then you get two out of Valdez, and then you look for three or four out of Zimmerman, and then you can turn it over to the back end of the bullpen, and, you know, you try and win some games. I think another guy who could be really interesting in that role for the Orioles is Dylan Tate. Of course, Tate was drafted as a starting pitcher when he was taken fourth overall a few years back. And now he's obviously a full-time reliever, but we've seen him go multiple innings. And, you know, he's going to strike some guys out, but he doesn't have, you know, big-time strikeout stuff that's maybe going to play in the eighth or ninth inning. Now, he can definitely have success at the back end of the bullpen. But what if you threw Dylan Tate out there for two innings to start a game? You know, he's going to try to get a lot of ground balls. And then maybe you have Tate out there. And then maybe once you pull Tate, you know, he's throwing 95 with all this sink and all this crazy movement to his pitches. They're going to get you to try to just, you know, beat the ball into the ground. Maybe after you've done that, then you throw in a Keegan Aiken, who's throwing that straight high fastball. And, you know, the velocity between him and Tate is pretty similar. Aiken maybe a touch or two down, but he's throwing a very different fastball, a fastball that almost rises, and he likes to throw up in the zone, versus Tate, who's trying to throw down in the zone with all that sink and two-seam movement. I think that would be a pretty interesting contrast for a guy like Dylan Tate to go out there. And then one more name I'll kind of throw out there, as you know, this is more so of a modified Orioles-type opener, is maybe a Cole Sulcer. You know, a guy you're trying to get back on his feet, you know, he had that really rough end to his season. We realized it was because of a foot injury. He couldn't really plant right and tried to pitch through it. It didn't go well. He's got still some good stuff with that really good changeup. We know he gets, honestly, lefties out at a better rate than righties, even though he's a right-handed pitcher. So you feel good about him going through the lineup. He's shown that he can get six outs. Maybe he's a guy who goes out there and starts the game, you know, with that fastball changeup as a right-hander. And then, you know, he's trying to get you with the changeup, the changeup, the changeup. And then maybe after him, maybe then you throw a Jorge Lopez in after that, who's going to be throwing, you know, a lot more fastballs with a lot of movement and, you know, try to just throw these hitters off. I think the Orioles, you know, I don't know if the opener will be kind of their main plan like it has seemingly been with the Rays for a while when they aren't, you know, starting a Snell or a Morton or a Glasnow. But I think for the Orioles, it's just another option because of all the arms you want to use and because of potentially limiting innings for guys. Maybe you want, you know, if Valdez can go two, then maybe you do throw a Keegan Aiken out there and he can go three or four and you can limit his innings. Or you throw a Dean Kramer out there, you know, after, you know, an inning and a third from Cole Sulcer. You can throw Kramer out there for four innings in the middle and then you get to that back end of the bullpen. And it opens it up as well for, you know, some of these Orioles pitchers who are maybe middle relief guys, but they're trying to see how they handle, you know, tough situations at the end of games. It allows you to maybe throw an Isaac Mattson out there in the eighth after the starter comes out, or you throw a Sean Armstrong out there in the eighth inning after the starter comes out. And it just allows you to mix and match, and I think it can throw guys off. And, you know, I don't think you do it with John Means, and I maybe don't even think you do it with Dean Kramer because you want them to really develop into starters. But these younger guys and these kind of, you know, mid-roll guys who, you know, are they starters, are they relievers, you could throw them in there after an opener. And I think, you know, it could definitely work out for the Orioles. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but good question there, and I think the Orioles could definitely take advantage of that here in 2021. But, you know, it was unfortunate that we didn't get to watch any Orioles baseball from Sunday. Again, they lose 6-4 to the Pirates in their first spring training game. Just kind of a quick look at the box score from that one. Of course, Tom Eshelman started, didn't go great. We saw a scoreless inning from Fernando Abad. We saw Josh Rogers come back from Tommy John pitch an inning. Mattson pitched an inning. The Orioles did finish strong, though, apparently, out of the bullpen, as Marcos Diplon, Connor Green, and Spencer Watkins went 9 up, 9 down to finish it. Green had a couple of strikeouts. Watkins had one as well, so that was a good sign. Obviously, Yusnail Diaz hit a monster home run. That was good to see. Trey Mancini getting that amazing standing ovation and getting himself a base hit in the first inning was awesome as well. And Rylan Bannon got the start, so he got some time as well. And you know, we saw some video of the new Chris Davis swing. It's a little bit different. He's a little more closed in the bat, you know, a little bit of different stuff from his bat before the swing. But we will get to see the Orioles today. If you're listening to this Monday morning when this comes out, Monday's game against the Philadelphia Phillies, not on Masson. You know, we don't really know if games will be on Masson. It's, you know, looking bleak there, but we haven't gotten a schedule from them for spring training. But the Orioles-Phillies game will be on NBC Sports Philadelphia at 1 o'clock Eastern time on Monday. If you have MLB TV, you should be able to watch it. If you're asking how you can watch it other ways, hit us in our DMs at Locked On Orioles or hit me up at Connor Newcomb _. There are other ways to watch on your laptop as well. We will be tweeting out plenty of content from the game because we can watch it. Jorge Lopez will start. It looks like both Rule 5 picks, Max Scherzer and Tyler Wells, will pitch, along with a couple of other interesting Orioles arms. And we will have all that content for you from the Orioles' first televised spring training game. And then we'll be back tomorrow again. We are back to daily episodes, Monday through Friday. Tomorrow we are going to break down the Orioles' spring training game on TV, just because, you know, we got to see some stuff and talk about what I saw in the first game that was televised of the spring. And then we will also be talking about one of the other Orioles minor league signings, Connor Wade. We could see him pitch Monday against the Phillies. We're going to talk a little bit about him a little more with Ryan Posner, who broadcasted his games over the past couple of years. So that's all coming up tomorrow on the podcast. But until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.